We continue on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, three lines down from where the lines get wide. The Gemara now returns back to the statement made in the Mishnah on Chesem Amud Aleph about the Yom Edom, different holidays that were observed by the idolaters, which we can't do business on. And one of those holidays was Yom HaMisa. When the king died, it was a Yom Eid. And if you recall, there was a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir said, Yom HaMisa is an automatic. Whenever the king died, that was a Yom Eid, it was a holiday. But the Chachamim said it was only when they also burned the clothing, when it was a Misa Shiesh Basreifa, then there was a Yom Eid. But if it was just a Misa alone without the Sreifa, that's not considered a Yom Eid. So the Gemara begins. This actually is the source for the discussion of B'chukosem Lo Seilechu, which we'll study together during the Digging Deeper podcast. The Gemara begins, Michlal, the Reb Meir Savar Loshna Misa, Shiesh Basreifa, Veloshna Misa She'ein Basreifa, Palchila Avodas Kachavim. Rabbi Meir is clearly of the opinion, or the implication is, that whether the death includes the burning of the clothes or whether the death does not, either way, because of the death of the king, that's going to cause everyone to worship idols. That was their Yom Eid. Therefore, Alma, Sreifa Lav Chukahi. You see from here that the burning isn't any chukas hagoyim. That's not anything unique to the idolaters. Burning just happens to be. In some cases, they'll burn, but it's meaningless because regardless of the burning, there's going to be a holiday. Michlal, but that also implies then that derabanan savri sreifa chukahi. That means then that according to the Rabbanan, who say that the only time there's a Yom Eid is when the Misa is accompanied by a Sreifa, that means the Sreifa then has implications for Chukas HaGoyim. Because the only time they're celebrating or observing the holiday is when there's burning. But we have a problem. We have a problem because this seems to question one of our practices that's brought down in the Tosefta on Shabbos, V'hatanya, Sorfen al ha-malachim, V'lo midarchei ha-amori. It says the Braisa that when a Jewish king dies, they burn his clothes, and it's not considered darchei ha-amori, it's not considered an idolatrous practice. Well, hold on a second. V'i chukahi, if, according to the Rabbanan, burning the clothing of the king, of an idolatrous king, is chukas hagoyim. Anan hechi sarfinan. How can we possibly do the same? V'haksiv u'b'chukosem lo seilechu. We can't mimic the ways of the idolaters. So how can we possibly allow it? How can the Braisa in Shabbos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin tell us that when a Jewish king dies, we burn his clothing? That's a non-Jewish practice. Says the Gemara, we made a mistake. Ela dekuli alma sreifa lav chukhi. Everyone agrees that the burning of the clothing when the non-Jewish king dies is not considered a chukas hagoyim. Well, then if that's the case, what's unique about it? Why, according to the Rabbanan, the only time there is a Yom Eid is only when the Misa is accompanied by the sreifa? So rather, says the Gemara, it's not a chok, ela chashivusahi. It's something which lends credibility to it. It makes it more chashiv, more important. As Rashi says, chashiv lehem hamisa, the death is considered more important, more special, and that's why, because they burnt the clothing, and as a result, they're going to serve palchi levodas kachavim, they'll serve idols. And therefore, says the Gemara, v'hacha paka mevlegei. So now, what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and their chachamim in our Mishnah? It's as follows. Rav Meir savar lo shna misa sheyesh basreifa v'lo shna misa she'ein basreifa. According to Rav Meir, whether the misa is accompanied by the sreifa or not, it doesn't matter. Palchi b'alavodos kachavim, they're automatically going to serve idols on that day of death. V'rabbanan savri misa sheyesh basreifa chashiv luhu palchi ba. when the misa is accompanied by the sreifa, that makes the death of that particular non-Jewish king important, and therefore they're going to serve idols. Ushein v'sreifa lo chashiva la v'lo palchiba. But when the misa is not accompanied by the sreifa, it's not of the king's clothing. It's not considered a special, so such a special person or a special death, and therefore they're not going to serve idols. And there's an interesting Tosfos here, which again we'll focus on a little bit more in the Digging Deeper podcast. But Tosfos here points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to contradict our Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin actually uses this brisa of Sorfanat HaMalachim, the fact that when a Jewish king dies, we burn their clothing. They use it to prove that when a person is given capital punishment, given death by the sword, they were told that even though it's ubichukosem lo seilechu, because that's how other nations execute their infidels, if you will, those who are deserving of capital punishment, they use execution. We shouldn't do it either. But because there's a pasuk in the Torah that tells us, that justifies this practice, it's okay to do. In other words, ubichukosem lo seilechu is obviated by the fact that there's a pasuk to support it. But if there wasn't the pasuk to support it, then it would be usher to do. And it uses the Gemara of Sorfan al HaMalachim, that brisa of Sorfan al HaMalachim, to explain that this is an appropriate practice only because there's a pasuk to justify it, which actually is a little bit later on in our Gemara. So how do you, can you explain that Gemara in Sanhedrin, which seems to indicate that ubichukosem lo seilechu is or sreifa is a chok, it is connected to an idolatrous practice, but our Gemara, which seems to indicate, in our maskana, sreifa lav chukahi. So how do you understand that? So the Re says there are two types of chukah, there are two types of ubichukosem lo seilechu, idolatrous practices that you may or may not be allowed to mimic. So he says, number one, type one, chok, is when it's a chok avodas kochavim. It's purely a chok. It mimics exactly an idolatrous practice. That, he says, is referring to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So that was a completely idolatrous practice, which is prohibited to do, unless there's a pasuk in the Torah to justify that action. That's why we can kill a saif when a person gets capital punishment, he's killed by the sword. That was only permitted to do, even though it was b'chukosam, it was permitted because of the pasuk. But our Gemara, discussing sreifa, our Gemara concludes that this practice, this idolatrous practice, is a practice, as the Re says, l'shem das hevel shtus. There isn't any religious significance, it's just the hevel shtus. It's some a custom that they took upon themselves without any religious significance. So since there isn't religious significance, it would be it's permissible to do so long as there is some Jewish justification for it as well. But Tosfos does point out, if it's a non-Jewish practice without any which is hevel shtus, there's no, even though it's a non-Jewish practice without any religious justification, if we as Jews don't have any religious justification to do so, then we shouldn't be allowed to do it. So again, this will get involved in more ideas of ubichukosem lo seilechu. Tosfos, as we see, takes a very strict approach. So it sounds like for Tosfos, if there is a non-Jewish practice which had no religious significance, we can't mimic that practice unless there's a specific Jewish need for it. Not going to impact, you know, what clothes you wear or what decorations you use and things like that. Even though there isn't any religious significance for an idol, for a non-Jew, but if there's no significance for us, it would be problematic. So we'll study this a little bit more detail at the end of the week. So the Gemara continues, Gufa, Sorfen ala malachim bein mamushim darchei amori. We mentioned before that when a Jewish king dies, we burn his clothes, and it's not considered an idolatrous practice. Shenemar v'shtalim tamus u'bemisfros avasera ha-malachim. When Yirmiyahu said to Tzidkiyo that Shalom Tamus, you're going to die, but Mistress of Asecha HaMalachim, that you'll be burnt like your like other kings. In other words, not you yourself, but your clothing will be burnt as well. So this is done as a Jewish practice. Kashem Shesorfen Ala Malachim, Kach Sorfen Ala Nasim. And just like we burn the clothing for Malachim, we also burn it for a Nasi. Umahein Sorfen Ala Malachim. What do we burn? What's the Jewish practice to burn? Not just clothing. Mitasan, their bed. Uklei Tashmishan, their vessels, umaisa shemes rabben gamlil hazaken, v'saref alav unkulus hager shivin manatsuri. And when Rabbi Gamlil hazaken died, they burnt all of his clothes, and unkulus even burnt 70 coins, 70 manatsuri. Gemara says, v'ha'amrat mayin sarfen alei mitasun klei tashmishan. What do you mean? We just said we burn the bed and their klei tashmishan, their vessels, their clothing. No one ever said you burn money. Now, Ema b'shivim manetzuri. Now, what it meant was not that he burnt money, but he burnt the value of 70 manetzuri through burning of his clothing, his vessels, and his bed. But now the Gemara asks, "Umidi achrin alo? Are the only things that were burnt were his clothing and his bed and other vessels?" V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa that in addition to the burning, what else do we burn? Okrin ala malachim ve'ein bo mishum darchei amori. We're also taught that we uproot the giddin of the malachim al hamalachim ve'ein bo mishum darchei amori. That Rashi says okrin behema hagiddin levad shel parsoseh, that right above their hoof we remove some of the sinews as part of killing the animal that he rode on. So how can that, and that's not also Mishum Darchei Hamori, that's also not considered an idolatrous practice. Well, so you see, it's not just clothing and his bed and vessels. Amra Papa, no, Sus Sharacha Olav, referring specifically to the horse that he rode upon, so it is considered a vessel. That is called a Kli Tashmisho. But it's a horse, so a horse is a non-kosher animal, so perhaps it makes more sense why we're able to kill this animal, because you're not eating it anyways. Ubehema tahora lo, and does that mean that we're not doing anything to a behema tahora? Fatanya ikor sheish batrefa aser v'shein batrefa mutter. It says that an ikor, this act of removing the sinew from the hoof, sheish batrefa, if it renders the animal a trefa by doing so, it will be prohibited to do. Ushein batrefa mutter. And if it wouldn't render the animal a trefa, then it would be permissible to do. Ve'ezeu ikur she'en batrefa. What is this, a case of an ikur which does not render the animal a trefa? Hamenasher parsoseh min arkuvu ulamata. That is when somebody, when they cut the animal by his hooves, min arkuvu ulamata, from one of the points of his legs, his hind legs. And you see, that sounds like we have a case of a behema tahora, where you can uproot the animal and not render it a trefa. So when do we have a situation like that? Tergmara papa ba'agala ha-moshechas bekaron. We're talking about a case of a calf which pushes the wagon. So the calf, which is a kosher animal, was pushing the wagon on which the king was sitting on. Even that calf is considered klei tashmish because he's pushing the king, and that calf would, the act of ikur would be performed on him. Now, there are a few questions to deal with before we conclude. And number one is, hold on a second, how are we able to remove the sinews from the above the hoof? There are two problems. Number one, tsar bali chaim, since when are we allowed to cause pain to an animal? Number two, bal tashchis, we're wasting. So let's work with the tsar bali chaim question first. Tosfos says that it's true, it is tsar bali chaim. However, Tosfos says, shiny kavod hamelech, shu kavod lechol Yisrael, v'asi kavod rabim, v'dachi tsar bali chaim. Even though tsar bali chaim is alive, kavod rabim, which is naseh, overrides Tzar Balei Chaim. And that's why, in this case, Tzar Balei Chaim is ignored because of Kavod HaMelech. And what about Baal Tashchis? So there sounds like there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that there's no problem of it's not there isn't really a problem of Baal Tashchis because you're not going to get benefit anyways from you're never going to get benefit from an item that was used by the king. So there really isn't an issue to begin with of Tzar Bali Chaim, but even so, we still don't want you to cause an animal to become a treifa. Even though it's, no one's going to ever get benefit from it, we still don't want you to do it. So, in terms of Baal Tashchis, the implication would be really isn't a problem of Baal Tashchis when you're never going to be able to get benefit from it anyways later on. There's no Baal Tashchis. Tosfos also just adds on. I think Tosfos learns the Gemara a little differently. Tosfos says that any time when we say that it's prohibited to eat from it, even though if it's an ikur which causes a treifa, so you can't eat from it because it's a treifa, but you can still get derived benefit from it. So it's not totally Baal Tashchis since you can get benefit. And an ikur she'ein ba treifa, if it doesn't render the animal a treifa, not only can you get benefit from it, but you would also be able to eat it.